talk to weak spirit. She comes in my dreams.
What is the path to awakening supposed to look like, to feel like? How do you know if you are on it? We ask these very sacred and sometimes vulnerable questions to many different women from all walks of life. A conversation that needs to be shared and heard. I'm Jo Hendy.
I'm Amanda Parker.
And welcome to the Girl Awakening Podcast.
Good morning, Amanda.
Oh, good morning, Jo.
Oh, deep breath today.
Yes, deep breath out into, well, across the planet, the other side of the world.
Yeah.
And probably out into their cosmos in a very effortless way, I feel, this
yeah.
morning.
Yeah, how lucky we are.
Mm.
So today we have a beautiful guest who resides in New York. So, yeah, a fair way away. I actually found this beautiful lady on YouTube. Well, she may have found me. I'm not sure. We found each other. her name is Laura Mazzotto, and she was a successful therapist in New York for almost 20 years. She adored her job and her clients and had a waiting list for over 5 years. Why would she leave? She made an amazing name for herself and was guiding people through some of their darkest times. Now, usually we'd go on to talk about what this beautiful lady does.
Which is?
Yeah. It's planetary. But so I'm going to leave it there and we're actually going to jump straight in to Laura's awakening journey, because I think what will happen is it'll unravel more about what she does and how she got to where she is.
And have it come from Laura.
Yeah. And have it come from Laura. So welcome, Laura. We're so, so honored to have you in the space today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah.
I think our listeners are going to be ecstatic.
Yeah. Absolutely. Do you want to jump in and ask the first question?
Well, our first question, Laura, is how did your awakening begin?
So that's a long answer, as I'm sure you probably know. I've always been very spiritual. Mm-hmm. From the time I was young, I was in the Presbyterian church. I grew up in the Presbyterian church, and I was actually enrolled to be a minister at the seminary. And it was actually my husband's fault because he fell in love with me and wanted to marry me. And so
of course.
I was like, I know. And I was like, well, this is kind of inconvenient because I have this whole thing set up with like my church and the seminary, but we had been together for about 5 years at that point, and I knew that he was my future and that I would just, we wouldn't have been able to ever see each other. And so what I ended up doing was moving to New York and just working for a little while in this area. And I wanted to kind of check a couple of things off my list that I had been considering doing before I committed to graduate school. And I knew that I always wanted to be a therapist. And so I went back and I did that. And I've been a successful therapist for 20 years. But it was about, I guess it was almost 10 years ago that both of my parents got diagnosed with cancer in the same month. And so then my mom had a mastectomy, my father passed away, and then I ended up getting pregnant with my third child, and it was the sickest pregnancy. And so with all of these things that kind of kept adding up, it was so clear that the universe was calling me to kind of slow down, to sit down, you know. And after both my parents got diagnosed and my dad passed, my spirituality took a turn, you know, kind of came back again, more full force, and it came back more personally, less organized religion, and really more like I want that intimacy, you know, with my soul. And so I started exploring that more. But then about a year after I had my third child, I got sepsis. And when I got to the hospital, the nurse said if I had called 911 30 minutes later, they couldn't have saved me. And I had quite the physical health journey since then. And about a year and a half after sepsis, the doctors looked at me and said, there's nothing else we can do for you. And you're just going to continue to go downhill and you should consider applying for disability. And it was funny because I'd always been a rule follower. And at that point, there was something in me that I was like, yeah, I definitely don't believe you. And I just don't see that as my life. Like, I just don't see that for myself. I don't. And so I started looking into alternative ways of healing. I became a Reiki master teacher. And I love that. It was very soothing and comforting. But when the Akashic Records kind of came across my path, I literally rolled my eyes and I was like, okay, what the hell is this? Right? Like, this is just another modality that they've put a name on. Like, what is this? And, but I just kept getting called to it. And then when I finally started working with the Akashic Records, I noticed that when I was in that space, I would have no physical symptoms. And when I would close it, I'd be super energized. And so my husband was like, I have no idea what you're doing or how this works, but all I know is you're so much better. You know, and I went into it for physical healing, but my anxiety went down, my confidence went up, my cognitive clarity was coming back online. And I was like, okay, there's something to this, right? And I noticed that when I wasn't doing it, I would have days that I really wasn't feeling well. And so I just kind of kept following the results because the results were speaking for themselves.
Yeah.
And then started learning more and more and just became a deeper and deeper believer in the depth of healing that's available to us with working with our soul and working with our energy. And I kind of felt like an idiot because I'm like, I've been a therapist for 20 years very successfully and have never accessed the depth of healing that I am experiencing in these modalities. It was wild.
Yeah. That's
so then I had to scream it from the rooftops, AKA on social media.
So coming from such a religious background and then knowing what you know now, like, or back then, how did that, those two, you know, run side by side there?
Yeah, there was a lot of conditioning that I had to rewire, right? From organized religion and a lot of kind of rules and tenets that were handed down that were like, well, this is how your relationship with God should be. And I think for a while, I kind of hid in my relationship with the universe and my relationship with the Akashic Records because it wasn't God.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that I definitely had some shame and some resentment and some confusion around that relationship. And so I went through a process of communion with my soul and forgiveness with my soul for some of the choices that it's made, you know, for my lifetime. And I also ended up really intentionally creating my own relationship with God and redefining who God is and who God is to me and what the intimacy of that relationship can offer. And it was unbelievable because I remembered when I started doing that the closest I ever felt to God was when I was camping, when I was a kid, like laying out under the stars, like on the top of my van. I would lay on the top of my van for hours and just stare at the stars. And I would be I would talk to God for hours, you know? And I remember I never felt closer to God than in those moments. And so it really highlighted for me how personal and unique this relationship is for each person.
So interesting. It's just listening to you. It's like, for me personally, it's been the opposite. I've never been religious. Like from my young age, my parents weren't, I wasn't. And it's not until now in my 50s, I've been watching a TV show. I don't know whether you've heard of The Chosen. It's all about the story of Jesus. And I'm learning about the Christ consciousness. And I'm like, oh my God, I love this. You know, this is so amazing. It's not limited or anything. It's very broad. But, you know, it's so funny that there's so many people that live that opposite way, where they've grown up in this conditioned religious lifestyle and then they come through. We've had so many women that have come through and come out of the other side, but it's so beautiful hearing you say about the camping thing. I'm about to go camping with my husband, so and that's what we love to do.
Oh I love that. That's gonna be so beautiful.
So the conversations with God changed for you.
They did. And I'm glad that you brought up Jesus Christ too, because even with Jesus Christ, you know, because there was a part of me that was almost like rejecting the Christianity piece for a little while. And then I was like, listen, it's not God's fault. It's not Jesus Christ's fault that people have created narratives, you know, or like rules around this or whatever. And I'm like, you know, Jesus Christ was a beautiful, beautiful being and guide, like, you know. And so I read Mary Magdalene Revealed, which is a beautiful book, you know, just to help you understand different aspects of who this ascended master is and how he really, really continues to serve all of us.
Absolutely.
I'm loving, personally loving the space that is appearing where we are getting exactly as you described, having to redefine your relationship with God and what was in your soul, your spirit, your heart, that other that people are getting to rediscover the beauty that is there in having relationship with these ascended masters, with these beautiful souls that are so available to us in a such a different way.
And also
that we've been
accustomed to.
Manipulated by and told that, you know, this is you know, a strict stony road that you must travel down, as opposed to the beautiful lush green meadows that are actually there in this world of spirit and ascended masters that have so much to share with us.
And that it's in all of us, you know, that same level of mastery sits in all of us.
I was literally just talking to my clients today on our Akashic Immersion call, and I was saying, like, this is why I love more and more people, meeting more and more people who do this work and who come into this relationship with their spiritual, whoever they consider their higher self or their, you know, greater power, higher power, is because it works through each of us differently. This energy works through all of us so differently. And I love learning about it. It doesn't need to be a source of contention. It doesn't need to be a source of conflict between people, right? It's just like a, hey, I'm so curious, how do you experience Christ? How do you experience God? How do you experience these ascended masters, right? And that we get to share with each other all the different ways that the divine works through us, because the divine is infinite and every single one of us expresses it differently, which is why I'm such a proponent of spiritual sovereignty, right? Wow. Because it's like, and that's what I love about what you were saying, Amanda, with, like, you know, creating these relationships on your own with these ascended masters and realizing that they're available to us. And it's like, when we realize that and we take ownership of our relationships with our spiritual guides, we're choosing sovereignty. We're choosing our own center of worth and authority and groundedness, because we're saying, like, this is what I believe. This is what I claim. And why do I claim it? Because I can feel it. I know how I feel when I'm connected to these beings, and nobody can refute that.
Yeah. There's that. That's just a simple beauty and power, and that, I mean, and we just feel that flooding of being when you say that. And I think it's the hottest topic on the planet at the moment, literally.
Yeah, your Instagram post that you did, I think yesterday. I'm not quite sure when it was, around the responsibility around sovereignty, and oh, that was so powerful, and it was just like, we felt it. It was just like that ownership of self, you know, and being okay with whoever you are, whoever you choose to be, in love, you know. It's like such a beautiful space.
Yeah, receiving all parts of you, allowing them to all come online, and just, they're all divine.
Yeah,
so divine. And we could go off on a tangent about Mary Magdalene and the divine.
Yes, she loves so much.
But we're going to stay with you.
Gotcha.
So coming back to, like, obviously, like, three children and health journey, that's a big awakening in itself, let alone having time to deal with, you know, the loss and of your father, and the assimilation of your mum's new journey as well around her health and things too. So that must have been a really big space with three little children.
Very much so. And I think that, like, I spent a month with my father in hospice, in another state, you know, so I was a good few hour plane ride away from the kids. And that was really hard for me, you know, that was really hard for me because I felt torn, you know, but what a beautiful process, you know, and what beautiful space to be able to have with him before he transitioned, and what beautiful modeling too for the children, you know, to be there for your family and to support your family. And I have a very supportive husband who was able to be here and provide the children with everything that they needed. So that was good. But yeah, it was a heavy time, right? And there's a lot of heaviness that can come through when we are truly seeing ourselves for who we are and continuing to uncover those layers of who we are. And it's just being able to enfold all of those heavy parts of us that come forward and weave it in to our story, because it's all part of the journey.
Absolutely. So part of the journey. And it's interesting, like I lost my mother this year as well, in a similar process of that timeline where you, it's such a precious time in those last months or whatever, but there's so much that you see differently, like in the person and in your relationship, and kind of stopping everything and allowing yourself to be in that space is such a great gift to each of you. I feel it's a beautiful blessing.
It is. You know what? I was able to feel my father's essence so much more clearly, right? Because like all that other conditioning just goes away. It doesn't matter because it's just, and it's just about connecting to each other in peace and in love. And it's actually very simple. It shows us how simple human connection can be, which is like, okay, you can say this and say that, and we could have had this whole litany of experiences, but at the end of the day, I just love you. Just love you, and you love me, and connecting in that, there's nothing more intimate.
Yeah,
that's absolutely
so beautifully said.
Yeah. Oh, that's really beautiful.
Amazing.
There was the other thing I was thinking, like when you came back with talking around the energy that tapping into the Akashic records gave you. Did that physically transpire into like changes in your body, or like obviously feeling energetically different makes a huge affirmation of, wow, there's something here. But was there physical changes in your body too, with some of your symptoms that were happening?
Oh, absolutely. I had, so I was really dizzy for about 5 years, and after sepsis, and for the first 3 years, I could hardly drive because I was so dizzy. And so that was able to resolve in the records. And I actually used the emotion code inside the space of the Akashic records to help me with that. And then I had severe leg pain for a number of years. And I cleared that in the Akashic records as well, along with some theta healing and a lot of cognitive distortions. And I would say that's what's helped a ton in the records, because it really, the clarity of mind and the clarity and discernment of my own wisdom. And I tell people all the time, it's so funny, because over the summer, this past summer, I actually got a concussion, and all these symptoms come in, right, that were very, very similar to after I had sepsis. And so I was thinking to myself, I was like, well, this is interesting, right? Like the universe is presenting me with very similar symptom, you know, very similar symptom mix as when I had sepsis, but yet I'm coming at it from a different level of consciousness, right? Yeah. And I'm coming at it from a completely different space than I did then. And so I have a very different level of trust and belief in what's happening. And it was so funny, because literally I get this concussion and I'm going live and I'm saying, I think everybody should hit their head. Like, I really do. It's like, I think everybody should just get knocked out for a period of time. Because they said, this is actually brilliant, because the mind is less accessible.
Oh,
right.
Wow.
And when the mind is less accessible and less online, you are so tuned in to your essence and to spiritual wisdom, because you have less interference. And I was like, this is brilliant, because then everybody can, when you do this, you can then really palpably feel how clear this wisdom is.
Yeah.
Right. And there's no doubt, because it's so blatantly obvious. Like your mind is like gone. Mm. Right. And you're like, I cannot make sense of anything cognitively, but I am so clear on who I am, on where I'm going and what I want without my mind.
Yeah.
Engaged. Right. And so that's what I love so much about the records, is like, that's what they brought me, is this clarity of who I am and how cool I am, even on the things that I feel crazy, right? Like all aspects of myself are welcome here, and they're all here for a reason. And it's like me aligning my human with that soul spunky essence that I have, right?
Yeah.
And realizing that I'm reflecting that through my human life. And it's just fun. And it's so cool to continue to uncover new layers of that and to have that clarity without necessarily having the mind in place. And so I think that was probably one of the biggest things that helped me in the records in terms of seeing shifts in the body.
So knocking the sense out of you is actually making a whole new level of clarity for me now.
100%. I was like, dude, I'm going to go smack my head on a tree branch again. Like if I ever start to doubt, I'm just going to be like, let's go for a walk in Washington, D.C. so I can hit my head on a tree like I did last summer.
It's funny. Oh, I remember walking with my children one time and I was turning to talk and I walked smack into a pole, like a power pole thing. And it was like for a minute there, like you said, I wasn't there. And then I came back and I went, wow, that really hurt. But wow, it felt good to feel something. Wow, it hurts. Going next level to a concussion, which I've never had. I kind of feel like I want one now.
It's so true though. I'm hearing what you're saying. We've actually been talking a lot about this, is that the more certain you become, the energy fields that have been sitting with us for years, or the patterns or the conditioning, want to fire up because they're like, hang on a minute, you can't go free. I'm here, you're gonna listen. And they all want to try and come in even louder and heavier. So that although we're becoming more aware, we also have to become more conscious of the energy fields that are trying to come in and take us out.
Mm.
The brain patterning.
The brain patterning and the, you know, all the conditions that we're under, which leads us to our next question. So when did you first notice a shift in your thoughts about the world, like the conditioning of the world and the planet?
Yeah, I feel, oh, okay, I have a very clear one. I would say it was really around that time that my doctor told me that I was just going to keep getting worse. You know, it had started before that because I had been getting increasingly frustrated with the medical community because of the real disparity in the guidance that I was getting. You know, one person is saying you're fine and you don't need anything. And the other person saying, we think you have lymphoma. You know what I mean? And so it's just, that was very frustrating for me because I would wait months and months and months and months for the greatest specialists and get nothing from those appointments, you know? And I'm just like, this is fascinating to me because I grew up very focused on academia. And very focused on, you know, getting my degree. I wanted to get my doctorate. Like I was just very focused on, you know, success equaling academics and intellect, you know? And so when I got those messages from the medical world and that kind of kept building, I started to really question these people that I had already always considered as authorities, right? In the medical world. And so I started realizing these people are just humans, right? Like they're just humans who are giving me an opinion. I don't have to believe that opinion, right? And then when I entered the spiritual world, I was like, wow, I'm somebody who I consider myself a very bright woman, a very well-educated woman who has gone to graduate school and had some very high-level jobs. And yet I come into the spiritual world and I have never met more brilliant people in my life.
Yeah.
Right? Never met more brilliant people in my life who have awakened parts of me and helped me see layers of me that I'm like, holy crap, you are brilliant. You know what I mean? And like some of these people haven't even gotten through high school. Yeah. Some of these people, you know? And so that's what made me start shifting that narrative as well, was like, this is so ridiculous. Yeah. Why do we put so much emphasis on this? And like, even looking at my own kids and just, you know, my oldest is so driven academically and God bless her, right? That's her choice. But I'm telling her all the time, I'm like, take a day off and chill and just, who cares? Go get a damn C, please. Yes. I would love it. Let's shake up the formula, you know, because like I said, I just want you to be happy. And so it's just realizing what's important. Yeah. And like I'm doing, I wrote the book Holistic Mental Health. That's a collaborative book project. I'm doing volume 2. My mother is doing a chapter in volume 2. And she said to me, and I was like so eager to have her part of it, just to get her published and, you know, have her words and her story out there. And she just kept saying to me, Laura, who am I to share this wisdom? Like, I'm not a professional in this. You know, she was a teacher her whole life. And I said, Mom, I'm like, this is what we want to get back to, is that it takes a village. This is, again, that societal narrative, right? We used to rely on our grandmother's wisdom, right? And teaching us how to cook and to interact and to all of that. And we got away from that. And we've relied so much on what we read and what we collect outside of us. But what about that woman's deep wisdom that's just innate within her, right?
Yeah.
And I said, you have 75 years of lived experience. Yeah. You are a walking vibration of joy. Do you know how much you have to offer? And that's the other narrative, right? Is like bringing forward that how brilliant our story itself is.
Yeah.
And that we don't have accolades and all these other definitions of success behind it.
Yeah. It's everything's upside down and back to front.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's so beautiful.
I love that you're giving space for your mother to share.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, we just both feel like everyone should write a book, you know, whether it's their life memories or whether it's a bit of fiction or whatever, just that process of what can be allowed to be expressed when they, you know, stop and just let it all come out and trigger that innate wisdom that's just sitting there and so suppressed often because we don't believe in ourselves or we don't believe we have anything to offer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's another part of the sovereignty, like taking ownership of your lived experience and how wildly valuable that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, wildly valuable.
Yeah.
And intimate. It's so intimate.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But we recently had our one and only man on Girl Awakening, which is Joe's husband. And we talked around that. It was very fun.
Yeah.
Around men's shadow aspects and things. And one of the things that came up was intimacy and how that does and doesn't happen. And we've lost connection with what being intimate really means. Like, just it really excites me when you say just what you said, like wildly valuable and sharing our stories or communicating or, you know, allowing what's inside of ourselves to be seen. That is intimacy, isn't it? Just so precious and so pure.
Mm. And that's what, it's so funny that you say that, because that's been very close to my heart. My word for 2022 was intimacy. And, I said, like, my definition of success, my definition of wealth is intimacy and spaciousness, you know, like that's for me. And, and I've been able to cultivate both so beautifully. And I remember when I was first in 2021, kind of setting this intention for 2022 for intimacy. And I remember sitting down with God and being like, okay, dude, let's talk, right? Like, what are all these doors? I keep going to all of these intimacy doors in my life, and I have so much intimacy, but it's kind of like pieced together, right? And I'm like, what is this about? You know, why does it feel like these doors just are not, just not getting to that level of like craving that I have for intimacy? And it was really, the answer was not just intimacy with myself and all parts of myself and deepening that, but also deepening my intimacy and relationship with God, right? And really making that my absolute number one relationship. And that was hard for me because it felt like I have to put that before my children. I have to put that before my husband. I have to, you know? And so that was a transition for me. And it was liberating. It was gorgeous. It was lightening of my field. And brought me more intimacy than I could ever imagine. What he told me was just start going into silent meditation, turn off the music, turn off everything, just silent meditation. Just be with me. That's it. Just be, nothing else. Just be. And I did that for like 6 months and it completely changed things for me.
Wow.
And completely changed things. You know what? Since the moment I started sitting down, since like 2 weeks after that silent meditation commitment, my faith has been entirely unwavering since then.
It's so beautiful that you say that, because we've had a few women talk at, and we mentioned this before, the different aspects of the one subject. So we can look at God here and all the different ways that people see God. And for some people, we've had channelers on that channel. And once they've had that experience of the channel, there's this overwhelming certainty and unwavering certainty that of love and intimacy, you know, that they have, that connection is just to source, is just there. And you can feel that. You can feel that. And I can feel that with you. It's powerful and powerful. Strong, but soft and gentle and loving. And it is unwavering. And we've actually, you know, felt this aspect in other women. And it's like the ones that have had true connection with God, source, higher self, that have that. Yeah, it's really beautiful and really felt. And
yeah, and it's so funny, because like I've said for so long, I'm like, I've never in human form felt the level of intimacy with another human that I felt when I am in deep connection with source. And it's funny, because what I said to myself, or God said to me, I can't even remember, in this point when we were having this conversation about intimacy, was like, well, Laura Mazzotta, if you feel like you're missing intimacy, and the closest you've ever felt intimacy is in this close relationship with source, why the hell aren't you doing this all day, every day? You know what I mean? Like, kind of like, well, if that's what you say you want to actualize, and that's what you say you want to call in, where's your devotion to doing this more deeply, right? And more consistently. And why do you keep going to all these people to provide you with what you already know how to access? And I'm like, calling me out, man. And it was good, because it like helped me step up in that level of responsibility and authority of claiming what is already here for me. It's already here. And I'm just sitting there in victim mode, like, wah, 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 right?
Yeah.
So it's good that I did, because I got sick of myself enough to look at it and say, help me out here, dude. I need some guidance.
Was this part of the catalyst for you to like connecting? I get just the feeling of connecting with source and then going, okay, I have this certainty now, but I need to then almost like share that, or like I'm trying to find the right words. It's like, I know this now, I know this feeling, I have this certainty, this connection. Now I want to show others how to do this, or now I want to share this. Was that part of that? Did you get that through that? Or was it?
I mean, I think for me, that was more at the beginning when I was channeling the Akashic Records, and I was channeling that and seeing how much of a difference it made, and realizing where I had been people pleasing and putting everybody else before myself, and, you know, taking really, really good care of myself, but not at the level of depth that I really needed. Like, I was doing it, but it was less immersive than it needed to be. And so what I was originally, the original reason I wanted to scream this from the rooftops about the Akashic Records was because I was like, dude, don't be Laura Mazzotta and get smacked in the head by sepsis or a tree branch, to wake up and realize that like, there's so much more available to you, and there's so much of you that you have not yet seen, and you're magnificent. And I want you to choose that without having to choose it, because something has happened, right? Wow. And then then I started going a little bit more public about the whole God relationship, and how, you know, yes, have a relationship with the Akashic Records and channel and connect with these other beings and modalities and all of that. But don't forget that source created all of it. Source created the Akashic Records. Source created the being. Source created the channeling. Source created you, right? And don't allow yourself to keep yourself small in these universal spaces, because you're afraid of the power that comes when you merge with source, because that is immense. And when we're talking about empowerment and really coming into your own voice and your boldness unapologetically, that source energy.
I just feel like fire ripping through you.
We've been talking about this because we've literally 70 plus women, and they've all had, you know, different aspects
of this.
And I said to Amanda, we were talking about this because we walk every morning as well, super early. And we were feeling how it's amazing because everybody's awakening, but there is a field of limitedness in that. Even though we're talking these incredible women that are doing amazing things, but you can feel that even in their awakening, there's a little part of limiting themselves. I'm hearing what you're saying in all the modalities, you know. And this is where we feel so grateful because we get to sit with all of the aspects and we're then going, wow, how have I been limiting myself in this area or this area or this area when we can have a little piece of everything and be connected fully to it all and utilize it all.
Yeah.
It's exactly what you just said. It's so beautiful and so powerful. And
I'm just really grateful to your husband for falling in love with you and pulling you out of the seminary because now you get to be, you know, sharing this message in like just a fully unlimited
space
way.
I laughed so hard because I'm like, all right, this is so funny. Like I started out with wanting to go into the seminary and be a minister. Then I was a therapist and now I'm coming back to like preaching, right?
Yeah.
And what's even better though, is now I can preach and curse at the same time, right?
Excellent.
Whereas before, if I was a minister in the Presbyterian church, I can't be dropping F-bombs in the pulpit, right? So like, I was like, this is actually so much better because I can curse and be myself and still serve God. This is great.
Oh, and you've got 3 kids that can give you hugs and, you know.
I know, exactly.
Husband that can say, honey, I'm proud of you now. What's for dinner?
right. Oh, he's the cook.
Excellent. Even better.
Wow. You are a powerful creator.
I really am.
That's so beautiful. Do you ever have moments, and, you know, we don't really like to go backwards, but do you ever have moments and think, wow, what kind of mum would have I been if I had stayed there?
Well, she wouldn't be a mum.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You would have been a mother of the flock, but not of them. Yeah.
Yeah, like if I hadn't awakened, you mean?
Well, yeah. If you hadn't have, like, taken the course that you have taken. You know, because I know that I think now, like, because I just hearing what you're saying, we're evolving all the time. We don't ever get to a part where it's just like, oh, my God, I'm here. It's like every day I'm always still learning so much about myself. And even as a mother, I think that would be one of the biggest areas that I'm learning so much about myself in, and how I can like unhook myself and my child in a new way in each moment. And I always think, wow, how's how I made that decision even a year ago, I wouldn't make now.
Oh, absolutely. It's so funny because like I had my oldest is 16. And so I had her before this big awakening, right? And my son, I had him before that as well. And I was always, like I said, I've always been spiritual. So I always kind of communicated that with them and was very open about that. But I wasn't as, like, it wasn't my lifestyle like it has been for the past, you know, almost 10 years at this point. And so it's just very interesting because to see the differences in my children, like my third child, when she was born, I was full on into this. And she's, I've already attuned her in Reiki. Like she is a healer. She is unbelievable. Yeah. Her intuition is unbelievable. So it's wild. And my other two were intuitive as well. And what's cool is that is the vocabulary that they've developed around this, right? And the way that they witness themselves and their interactions with peers in ways that are just way beyond their years. And we can say this about a lot of children, right? Yeah. We can say this about a lot of kids that they're way beyond their years. But I think that, you know, being able to be so humble as a parent and just really being able to be so transparent about my own journey and everything that they witnessed in me, being so sick. You know, I was very, very sick and I had a lot of guilt around that for a while. And it was very important for me to process like some level of detachment from their journey. Because there were a few times over the course of this period of time that I didn't know if I was going to make it. And so I needed to be at this point where I needed to deepen my faith in them. And that's what was going to serve them more than anything, right? Worrying about them was not helpful. It was more like their souls signed up for this journey, wherever it's leading, yeah. You know, their souls signed up for this. And I trust them and I trust their resilience. And I trust that their souls are absolutely going to fulfill what they're meant to in this lifetime, whether I'm here or I'm not here. And I needed to kind of detach myself from that and really deepen my faith in their sovereignty.
Yeah.
You know, and that honestly was a huge gift, because it really allows me to be a support for them and a rock for them, but they do their own thing. They're very independent, yet very, very wise and very sensitive and connected to us as a family, but also just to their own wisdom and their own guidance. And my daughter just gave a speech at her sweet 16. And that's one of the things she said is she was like, I definitely would have burnt out by now if it weren't for you, mom. Cause you know, but she said, what I love about you most is that you guide me, but you always allow me to, and trust me to make my own choices and to really rely on my own wisdom, you know? And so, yeah, it was just, it's just beautiful, because you can always look back and say, oh man, I wish I had awakened like this before I had all three of them. You know what I mean? But it's all happened the way it's meant to, you know? And it's been beautiful for them in different ways to witness my process and how I've shifted too, you know, and just been really, really frank about the shadows that come up for me, you know, and just, I don't like to view them as children. I like to view them as really, really wise. I don't care how old they are.
Yeah.
I don't care how old anybody is, right? Like, we're all absolutely brilliant and have something to offer each other.
I think it's so powerful for our listeners to hear that, because I think we have a lot of moms that listen, and that there's that fear of stepping that line where it's like not, you can let go, you know, I love how you said, I don't view them as children, because I'm saying we're the same. We don't view them as children. We view them as beings. And I have a daughter who lives in Japan, and she's just taught me so much about myself in the last year, because I've let go of the having to be the parent and allowing her just to share wherever she needs to share and totally being okay with it. And I think a lot of parents view that as, oh, but what if, you know, I stop doing that? They'll hurt themselves, or this, or they'll do that. Well, you know, the gift is in the letting go. It's not the holding on. It's like the magic starts to happen in these beautiful beings when you actually fully, you know, surrender to being the parent.
100%. And I think what comes up when you're saying that too is this concept of the roles that we take on in this in this human life, right? Roles are defined by human beings, right? There are no roles given to us by God, you know? And so it's like, I deal with this a lot with my adult clients who are really working through their relationships with their parents, you know? And it's like really being able to separate the roles. Like, if you didn't see them as your mother and father, how would you interact with them?
Yeah.
How would you be compassionate towards them? How would you be understanding of or curious about why they think a certain way or why they're responding a certain way, right? And like, we have so many expectations and ties that come with, well, you're my mother, so you should be boop, 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 boop.
Yeah.
Why? Who says that?
Yeah.
Right? It's like, we are all humans. I don't care if you're my kid or you're not my kid and you're running in front of a moving car, I'm going to jump in. I'm going to help you.
Yes.
Regardless. I'm going to help you if you're 75 or if you're 12, right? And so it's kind of like, for me, let's get rid of the roles. And this is why, like what I was talking about earlier with this, it takes a village. Like, we're all just here to help walk each other home, right? To help walk each other to that essence of who we are. And I think that we can look at that role of a parent, both as an adult in relationship with our parents and as parents ourselves, and really separate from the definition that comes with that and say, my kid's soul signed up for me.
Yeah.
Right? They said for me. And I realized that for years I was people pleasing with my kids. Well, I got to do it this way because that's what good moms do.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to do this because I'm a mom and I'm supposed to do this, that. And it's like, but what if I'm just me? What if they signed up for just me? Mm-hmm. And I've noticed as they get older and older, the more of me that has opened up. And that I started to realize, like, years ago, I'm like, wait, why am I not being fully myself with my children? Why am I holding back? Because, well, you're not supposed to talk to kids about that, or you're not supposed to, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
absolutely.
100%. Like, the most times I've felt the least myself is when I've been trying to do the right thing with my kids, mm-hmm. instead of doing what I know is right with my kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's you're most out of yourself in that situation, because you're not in alignment with the relationship you have with that beautiful sovereign being that's chosen you and you've chosen them. Yeah, it's the most incredible relationship you can have.
And that was one thing that I oh, go ahead, Joe, what were you saying?
I was just going to come, it comes back to what you said earlier. Your word for 2021, I think it was spaciousness.
22.
You know, giving space to our kids, you know, that's, I think that would be the ultimate gift, is to allow them to see themselves in the space, you know, and exactly what we give ourselves is just honor that in them as well.
Oh my gosh, I have to share a huge celebration. As you're saying that, last night I was sitting with my son, and I swear I have been saying this to him for years. And it came out of his mouth. We were sitting there because he was homesick yesterday and he was bored out of his mind. And so then I was like, let's play a card game. So we were playing a card game and we sit down to do the card game. And he looks at me and he goes, you know what, Mom, boredom's good, right? Because it offers me space for creativity and it lets my wisdom drop in. And I was just like, it's like, you know, I was just like, this is so exciting.
Oh my
God. He had the space and he's taken the space to kind of integrate this kind of concept in his own time. And I felt like he was so resistant to it and felt like it was not sinking in and all these things, right, that we tell our kids or anybody in our lives. And it's just, it was so beautiful to hear him. Like, it was like it dawned on him and he realized it and got it, you know, at that moment. And I was like, that he realized the beauty in it. And I was like, oh,
felt it. Magic. That's so beautiful.
I love those 6 days because it's like, you know, they're just, and you're available to be with them home. And it's, you know, and it is, I remember a friend saying to me once when my children were little that, you know, don't turn the TV on, don't have movies and stuff, like just let them rest, you know,
blah, blah, blah.
Be with them, this and that. And I was like, I sort of thought about it and then I did it. From the point of view of like, okay, well, let's see how this plays out. And it really just enabled a lot of that space and that connection between us, which was the nurturing and the, you know, probably why they wanted to be home that day in the first place was just to be still and, you know, be with mom and just not worry about the world for the day, you know, and those pearls of wisdom can drop in.
Yeah. And that's what I always say is I'm like, you know what? And I say to him in particular, I'm like, you know what? Cause he's a boy of few words. And so I say to him, I'm like, I could care less if we ever speak. I love being in your presence. Like, I just love being with you. And so now he just has this, he's done this for years now where he just comes down and he's like, I just want cuddle time. Like, I just want to be with you. And we lay there, we don't say a word. And then eventually sometimes we'll start to chat a little bit and then we just lay there and it's just being in each other's presence is so healing. And I love that so much. And I was going to say this earlier too. That's one of the things that I've kind of deconditioned from being a therapist, a traditional therapist as well, is like all these rules that they give you around don't share this. And then if somebody says this, you need to ask these questions. And then you need to make sure that this gets done and all of this. And I just realized how many restrictions were put on just being present with another human. Like, let my energy feel your energy. Let your energy feel my energy. And the exchange of those fields is what's going to create magic between us and clarity. And, you know, and I just, that's where we need to come from when we're in relationship in any form.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You really feel that.
You can really feel that. Yeah. It's an equal space. There's no good. There's no one less or more. It's a beautiful receivership.
Well, we talk a lot when we're walking in the mornings and sometimes we occasionally run out of things to say. And
very rarely.
Yeah, a little moment of silence. And then one of us usually starts laughing. Because it's just fun being together, you know. And I think we try to fill the spaces too much with stuff, you know, and like that energy field that is there, if we allow it in, is that magic.
Yeah.
And the opening to all those things that we've forgotten to do, the telepathy and you know, the connection with the signs that we see when we look at someone's face, or we see how their body is, or you know.
Which is
love it.
So perfect for our next question. And we have talked a little bit about this, but what kind of things have happened or are happening to you and for you when you started to open up your space?
Yeah. So, I mean, sepsis happened for me. I'm so grateful for sepsis.
Yeah.
It changed my life.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful for some of the shifts that have happened in my relationship with my husband as well, because we've been together for 26 years.
Yeah.
And he married a type A people pleasing rule follower. And now I'm a hippie, like whatever, you know, like completely different person I was then, poor guy. And so there's been like a lot of shifting there around. He's like, listen, like I get it, but I come home and I live in this world where it's like, you know, everything's energy. And he's like 75% of the time I'm dealing with the world. Right.
Yeah.
And so it's being able to kind of support his process. And one of the things that I will say, I'd say that one of the biggest lessons and tools for me, and I think for all of us, and why we're here on this planet, is through our relationships, not just our intimate relationships, but our relationships with others. And that's my favorite mantra ever of all time, which is I trust the journey of my loved ones and release attachment to it. And I think that every time things come up in my life that are conflictual or quote unquote difficult, et cetera, it's always an invitation into detachment, right? And deeply trusting that everything is energy and that everything is happening for me. And you can't always see that in the moment, right?
Yeah.
But I think that it's coming more and more online as time goes on. And so that as things come into my world now, even if they feel humanly rocky, I see them for what they are pretty quickly. You know, like I just had COVID for 10 days. And it was brutal this time.
You look radiant. Yes. You look amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. It was brutal. And I swear to God, the entire time that I was laying there in my bed, I was just beaming for a couple of reasons. One is I was like, I know that I'm being detoxed right now, right? Like I'm being cleared, I'm being prepared. And I knew that. And I also know, so when I got sepsis, they diagnosed me with an immunodeficiency and I was on plasma infusions for years, but over the winter, my body started rejecting them. And so I had a lot of health problems last winter as they were kind of leaving my system. And I know why. It's because I've healed, right? I've healed to a point where I no longer need them. And my body was saying, I'm done with this. And so it was fascinating because with that immunodeficiency, you don't get fevers. So I didn't get fevers for 7.5-8 years. And so with COVID, I had 104 fevers for days. And I was sitting there in massive celebration because I'm like, this means like my immune system is working, right? My body, I'm so proud of my body right now, right? And that's the thing. I don't know if you guys have dabbled in human design or not, but human design, it's a good tool. You know, it's an extra tool that I use from time to time. But my primary gate in human design, which basically governs my whole energetic blueprint, is the physical body. And that I am meant to learn all of my lessons through the physical body and share the lessons I get with other people. And so most of those things that you're asking happening for me, not to me, have come through the physical body. Right. Most of my experiences have come through the physical body. And so, you know, it's, it's just fascinating to me, because at first I thought, oh, am I just really stubborn? Like, do I just need to get hit over the head with this stuff in order to like understand? But I realized, no, this is my design in this lifetime, right? Like, this is how I'm meant to be. I'm meant to get into this really intimate relationship with my body. And so as things come up in my body, I know that that I'm being invited into deeper wisdom, deeper surrender, deeper immersion into my soul's essence. And so that's really how I see everything that comes into my life, right? Is like, it's an invitation. It's always an invitation. And do I always catch it immediately? Not always, you know, but I'm getting better and better at that, as we all are.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, so beautifully. Absolutely. And it's like really powerful too for everyone to hear, because, you know, as you say, lying in bed, feeling like, you know,
shit.
Yes. Well,
total and, shit.
But excited about it, and not suffocating the experience with, you know, all the things, allowing the experience to be a learning experience and an invitation to experience yourself and your capacity to heal. And, you know, also I guess trust the supports that you have around you with, you know, what health practices that you have to navigate through that in a safe way. But just, you know, really trust what it is for your body to have its intelligence, the body intelligence to know what to do. And support it rather than take it off course and suffocate it and knock it out.
And I think that's what a lot of people do. Like, I was even talking to people today that were just like, I just want to get rid of this chronic anxiety and this chronic illness. And I'm like, we don't want to get rid of anything.
Yeah.
I was like, stop rejecting parts of yourself. Have you tried to welcome it? Have you tried to say, hey, what's up? Like, what do you need? Like, thank you for being here with me, because there's a reason for it if it's in your field, right? And it's like, allow yourself to welcome those parts of you. And I think that's where the self-acceptance comes in, is like, yeah, I mean, I can be this and I can be that. We all have shadow aspects, right? But they're, I don't even see them as shadow. They're just unique expressions of who we are.
Yeah, I like what you said about the shadow, because innately you start to feel like there's parts of you that are bad. Right. And we don't like feeling like these were bad, and it's kind of
we want to take a pill, or we want to, you know, there's some kind of medication that can actually take this feeling away. You know, I know that. Yeah,
we don't like feeling. I think the part of, you know, dealing with our shadows, which is a healthy thing you were just sharing, to go stop rejecting a part of yourself. Mm. I don't know. We're kind of trained to feel that we must be bad. These are why things happen to us, because we are bad, and we have to work really hard at being good. And it's a fake reward system, isn't it? Like, from very early days. So yeah,
it is. We're meant to see all parts of ourselves, you know. Like, we're meant to hold all parts of ourselves in love and patience and compassion and grace.
Yeah,
we do that for people around us, you know. Let's do it for ourselves.
Yeah, great point. Okay, is there anything that you've had to give up along the way?
My control.
Just that small thing.
Yeah, just like some human control. My agenda, you know.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I'm gonna do and this is how I'm gonna do it. Yeah, I had to give up my agenda. I've had to give up my my ideas of like what other people are supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, come on, dude. They're allowed to do, they get to do whatever they want to do. They get to be whoever they want to be, you know? And you know, I think for a period of time I feel like there's lots of layers of ego that have been shed, obviously, and parts of me and layers of me that have been shed. So like, for a long, long time, I thought that I was an introvert and I labeled myself as that. And I would take the Myers-Briggs personality inventory and I'd always end up at like 92% introverted, right? Don't talk to me. I'm good, you know? And then it was funny because I started running my retreats And I left like 5 days off afterwards because I was like, I'm going to need to rest after this social experience. And what I found was that like I come back from that and I was energized because I was with my soul tribe. And I'm like, so that's another thing I've released is labels, labels of myself, labels of other people. Mm-hmm. Like I used to use terms that of course I learned as a therapist, narcissism, you know, diagnoses, disorders, things like that, like labels of any kind, you know. No, I'm just contributing to a pattern if I'm believing that that person identifies in that way, right? And so I think it's releasing that and releasing the permanence of anything. Nothing is permanent, right? Everything's always moving. And I think that that's part of, you know, releasing the control, but also just deepening my trust in the universe and the divine plan. And so I think that there needed to be a lot of releasing of belief systems that were keeping me in this space of really stuck in the mind, like being stuck in the mind a lot and trying to make sense of things and really being able to say, I'm okay with not knowing. I'm okay with not knowing. I'm okay with never being enlightened. I'm okay with not being healthy if I'm not meant to be, right? Like surrendering absolutely all of it to source. And I think that I needed to let go of this need to grip on to survival and this need to grip on to connection and love and all of it and just be like, yeah, no, you know, I'm meant to be guided.
Well, anything other than that is entrapment, isn't it? Really? It's interesting. Yeah. Expectation. The word expectation kept coming up for me too. Just, you know, where it's almost like a patterned thing in us to expect something.
What's next?
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's like, right. Just like being in the present moment, like releasing the agenda, not just for myself, but for other people, including my children.
Yeah.
Right. And just being like, and releasing attachments to everyone and everything, you know, in a way that like, obviously that's going to be an unfolding. It's not like I've perfected that. None of us have, but it's like, you know, this unfolding process of releasing attachments and just being like, I get to love you and support you at the deepest level without being attached to how you feel or your outcome or your journey or your process or any of it.
Yeah. And it's quite a big one. Like, cause even like I'm a therapist as well, and like as part of my description or whatever label, but and what would have called you to the seminary and, you know, into that role as a therapist is that nurturing part of yourself and that mothering aspect, and releasing attachment into that space is a really big one.
Absolutely. Because I was in, when I first started as a therapist, I was definitely in savior mentality. Absolutely. When I first started, you know, until I started realizing what that was and that how that was presenting, you know, because that was really a reflection of my own stuff that I wanted to save myself, you know? And so it wasn't about saving anyone. It wasn't about, it's not about me. That's another thing I had to release. None of this has anything to do with me. I am like massively magnificent and relevant at the same time that I'm completely irrelevant.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's like, I mean, it's coming through me. It's not me.
I'll keep getting beautiful. Drawn into the cosmos behind you when you say that, because it's like this expanse,
it's disappearance.
And this huge awesomeness and then coming back to this tiny little individual. It's like the beautiful relationship between the two, like the expansion and the, you know, completion and the contraction. And it's so simply beautiful, isn't it? And to feel comfortable in that space is so freeing.
Letting go of any duality.
Another one of our favorite words.
That's so beautiful.
That's beautiful.
Just quickly on that too, but bringing it back down to the smallest part but can be quite big is how are you around diet and alcohol and things like that? Do you focus on those things too as part of your health, you know, and spiritual journey, or is it something that you don't put too much significance on?
Yeah, I focus on that a lot. I don't drink at all.
Yeah.
But I never have because I tried to get drunk a few times in college and I sucked at it.
Yeah.
I was like, I hate this. It just made me feel really sick. Like yeah. every time I drank, it's always made me feel really sick. And I was like, yeah. how do people do that? Like, it just made me nauseous and like, it just didn't agree with me. And yeah. so I've just never really been a drinker. It's never really been part of my life and never really used anything else. Never even tried it because yeah. I was a goody two shoes for a very long time. Let's be clear. Yeah. But dietary wise, I've always been a very healthy eater for the most part, but then I learned how to eat very cleanly, you know, after I got sick and I started, you know, removing offending foods. And I started kind of doing this elimination thing where I started understanding how my body was responding to certain foods. And so there are some foods that I don't eat mm-hmm. that I choose not to eat, like gluten and dairy. And there's some other things that are just reactive in my system. And I've just, as I've become more intimately connected with my body and its signals, I'm just very, very conscious of what I consume. So it's nothing processed, obviously. And, and I'm just eating a lot of kale and beets and quinoa. And I think that eating cleanly, eating high vibrational is very important. I think that, you know, the body is an altar, the body is a temple. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's important to nourish ourselves, but I also know that it's more important to feel joy in this life. So, you know, don't let it be this obligatory. I mean, it was obligatory for me at first and I tantrumed my way through it that I couldn't sit down and have a giant bowl of pasta and chicken parm, you know? Yeah. And so I would be pissy about that at first, but then I just realized like I needed to kind of put on my big girl pants and stop having an inner child tantrum and realize that this was a gift for myself and that I was really serving myself. And so that doesn't mean never indulge, you know, but I think, cause I don't want people to feel any level of restriction because we want freedom, but I also want you to listen to your body most importantly.
Yeah. I think that's the perfect recipe really. We had a lady in recently and her term for her method of eating was happy eating. Mm-hmm. So she didn't kind of like, you know,
it's a vibrational thing, wasn't it?
Frequency. Yeah. And she didn't restrict herself. She ate what made her feel happy, but invariably that was, you know, things that were most good for her anyway, and but without the kind of the mental space around it all.
And I also think it's helpful to bless your, you know, to bless your food, to bless your water. And I really do believe in taking just a little bit of space to, you know, 10 seconds, that's all it takes, you know, to bless your food and to really set the intention for it to serve you at the deepest level nutritionally.
Yeah, there's a beautiful consciousness that creates, because there's a lot of talk around, you know, the consciousness of water at the moment, or there's a lady called Veda Austin who calls it God consciousness with water. And I think if we put that across all things, like particularly our food, which we have all day, every day, it creates mm-hmm. such a different dynamic in how our body relates to our food, how we appreciate what's in our life, and how we can be grateful for the most simplest things.
Yeah, I love that, because you know what that brings forward for me is the mantra, for some reason, that's just dropped in this week for me that I keep repeating, which is what keeps coming through is slow and deliberate. Slow and deliberate. Just in everything that I'm doing, whether we're talking about eating, whether we're talking, you know, just slow and deliberate. And I love that, because it really, the more that we slow down with, that was one of the first things that I shifted from a dietary perspective, was just chewing my food more before I swallow. Like, that's the first step in digestion, right? How much that helps and takes stress off of my digestive system to chew everything very thoroughly and being very deliberate and then swallowing, you know? And it's, that just takes more space and time for people that a lot of people in this world feel they don't have or don't allow space for. So I think that, you know, even as I'm driving, I'm like slow and deliberate, like just being very intentional, you know?
I love how this podcast rolls, because Our next question is exactly what you've just been talking about. Mm. So what do you do now to support yourself with staying in the moment? I'm gathering it's being slow and deliberate.
Yes, there we go. Presence, you know, for me, it's nature, you know. Nature is one of the things that helps me a lot with presence. My children help me a lot with presence as well. For me, it's about inviting God into the small moments, you know, because I think that a lot of times we invite God into the moments when we are a hot mess or when we want direction, you know. And so it's just inviting God into all those small moments and allowing yourself to be led rather than making, you know, conscious choice all the time is one. But for me, channeling is a big one, you know, that I do for myself, that if I don't channel for a few days, I can feel it. You know, it affects my clarity. It affects my mood. It affects my, my body for sure. So channeling is a big one for me, but I have to say the one thing that always brings me into alignment and brings me into that presence and immediately connects me is chanting. I love chanting so much. It is wild how impactful it is for me. It's like anesthesia. Like I start to chant and I am gone. I am in another consciousness. I am in another dimension. My entire body is numb. It is wild how effective chanting. I had no idea, but this just like arrived in my field, you know, years ago. And it's just like the biggest, most beautiful gift. It really is.
And is it a particular like phrase or words that you have?
I just go with whatever drops in. I mean, I know a lot of chants at this point. And so I'll just be walking through my day or just doing something and a chant will just start to show up. And then I just start to chant. And so I just go with whatever they bring me.
Yeah. Such a high
frequency. Like the other. It is. It's unbelievable. And it bypasses the mind because your mind has no idea what it means. Right. And so it really goes straight to the core, straight to the energy, straight to the essence, straight to the body. And it tunes you immediately. And sometimes it'll end up being light language, but most of the time it's chanting.
Yeah.
But the other day I started chanting in Akashic immersion and it turned into light language. So I just let whatever's meant to come through.
Beautiful. Oh my God. That's so beautiful. I love that.
Do you record your chanting?
I do. I have a Facebook group called the Expansion Portal and I have a chanting. I actually have like a chanting. It's kind of like, I don't know if it was a masterclass or what that I did in there. And people are obsessed with this chanting masterclass. They're like, I am obsessed with this. Like, I just feel like you're giving me a big hug and I just love it, you know? And, I need to do it more often, like publicly, you know, because that I do for myself a lot. And I just got myself a Shruti box. So I just started chanting with my Shruti box and I did a reel on that on Instagram where I just did a little bit of chanting there. But it's so intimate. I think that's why I just do it for myself most of the time. And I do it with my clients a lot, but I haven't done a ton of public videos on it. So maybe that's something I can add to my list.
Yeah. Your repertoire. Yeah, absolutely.
Who knows what might come through.
Right.
We are at the end. We're in our last question, which is a big one.
Mm.
How do you see the world through Laura's eyes now?
I see the world in need of love and I see the world waking up at the same time. I see a lot of people tantruming out their ego layers and not realizing that that's what they're doing. But I see a lot of layers releasing right now. And I think that there's a lot of people who feel in chaos and upheaval because of that. But it's truly a gift, right? Because what's happening is their awareness is opening. And I do see that globally. I do see awareness opening, but I think that with awareness opening. And my husband even said this in his process. He's like, I feel like my awareness is opening, but when that happens, I see so much more. And sometimes that's hard because I can see and feel people's pain.
Yeah.
I can feel their sadness in ways that I didn't before. And so I think that is a good reflection of what's happening globally as well, right? Seeing each other's pain. And I think reacting to that from conditioning and from the mind and from the nervous system, rather than realizing the role that we can all play in guiding ourselves compassionately through that, you know? And so it's bringing love to that and realizing that there's really only love and fear in this universe. And everything else is a spectrum of that. And if we could just choose, continue to keep choosing and reminding ourselves to choose love. And the fact that we are all reflecting to each other, and as we each take our own responsibility and ownership for what we're reflecting and what's being reflected to us, we model that for other people.
Wow. So beautifully said.
Yes.
Did that answer your question?
Because I think when you said the duality of love and fear, it really brings it into a very clear space of the choice is simple, isn't it? Really. And if you choose love, everything else just disappears immediately. And it's about staying and like using the tools like the chanting to help you stay in that space of love and not be distracted or pulled out into the fear or the tensions or the games that are waiting.
And inviting it in too, you know, like there's so many people that I meet with who have had a litany of trauma, you know, and things that they're very in upheaval about. And it's being able to say, it's like, all of you is welcome here. All of you is welcome. All of the torturous stuff that you feel you're experiencing, just see, allow it to be seen. It needs to be seen. And I think that's what's happening right now, is there's a lot of inner child tantruming going on in the world. And a lot of that is coming up to be seen.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily pretty all the time, but it's also being able to say, I see you, and you're welcome here at the same time. Like I'm compassionate and I'm holding you through that. But I'm not going to let my faith waver.
Yeah.
You know, my faith will not waver, because I believe in the evolution of humanity, and I believe in the expansion of the planet and of the universe, and continuing to hold that position regardless, and knowing that people are waking up and that this is part of the shedding, and it's uncomfortable and it sucks and it's miserable sometimes. But it's also, I mean, I want to say beautiful, but I'm sure some people would probably rake me over the coals for saying that, but I do think it is.
Well, it's perfect, isn't it? It's all happening for us. And possibly by us, you know, for the evolution of consciousness. And I think that's where we're at right now. It's like, if we can have that mindset, which that's our mantra, everything's happening for us, which you've brought up many times throughout the podcast, which is so beautiful. And I think the more of us that understand that and truly take that on, I think, you know, the planet will start to embrace more of the love, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think what you just also shared is that if we anchor that love into ourselves, that we are able to, you know, extend a hand to others around us without feeling that we're falling off our chair or, you know, stepping off our path. It's not a sacrifice, you know.
Right. Nothing has to be sacrificed. There's enough for everybody.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, there's enough for everybody. A true definition of abundance. There is enough for everybody.
Yeah, that's a beautiful way to round this off. Mm-hmm. We feel truly blessed to have sat with you today. Is there anything you wanted to end with or on before we finish this beautiful podcast off?
I would just say, I just encourage you to open up space, you know, like open up a little bit of space for yourself. If you're listening and you're like, I don't even know where to begin, this is like so far beyond where I am, or I don't know where to start. Like just opening up the littlest bit of space intentionally, even if you're like, well, I already have space. Okay. But open up intentional space just to be. I don't care if you eat chocolate the entire 10 minutes. Okay. Like just open up that space for you to just experience yourself for a short period of time. It could be a minute. right? But it's just when we communicate to the universe that we're being intentional about opening space for ourselves, more space will open. Okay. And the more space that opens, the more energy the more energy can move, the more creativity can come forward, and the more easefully you can move with clarity into your next right steps.
So beautiful. So beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Laura. It's been, it's been really beautiful. We will pop all of your information on the bottom of the podcast. So everybody can jump on and check out you on Instagram or your website,
Facebook.
And Facebook as well. So thanks so much for joining us on Girl Awakening.
And yeah,
you're beautiful. You're so welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Laura.
I talk to a spirit. She comes in my dreams.
Thank you for listening to our Girl Awakening podcast. We are also on YouTube as Girl Awakening. We'd love to see you there with comments on how our guests resonated with you or your own awakening. Please share the love with a like and subscribe while you're there. A blissful thank you to Ksenia Luki, the amazing artist behind our theme song. We will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.